So therefore, today is three holidays in one. Everyone or anyone who studies Buddhism a little bit will understand a fully enlightened mind, an awakened being. An awakened being, an enlightened being, has full control of where they will go, stay, abide. Shakyamuni was no different. Tsongkhapa was no different. When you arrest the full potential of your mind, you will control your destiny. No god, gods, deity, person will control your destiny. They could never control your destiny. You will control your destiny. Now, on this day, 2,500 years ago, Buddha chose to take rebirth on purpose. Everybody knows the story. And there were many miraculous signs prior to birth and during birth and after birth. Prior to birth, Maya Devi, his holy mother, had so many dreams, of which one was a baby elephant descending from Tushi to heaven with six tusks, white, with a trunk up, entering her side, entering into her womb. And when it entered into her womb, she was calm and very happy. And she had this dream and this kind of dreams repeatedly. She dreamt the gods of the realm of the 33, the gods and demigods, used to come down and wash her body and dress her and prepare her for a special guest. You have to understand, she was pretty special herself, all right? She's not special just because she gave birth to something special. She herself was pretty special. She had these incredible dreams all the time. And before she gave birth, many soothsayers, many powerful beings that time had predicted a superhuman will take rebirth, an awakened one, a Buddha. And when the time came, with no pain, Maya Devi went to the Sala Grove. And with her right hand holding up a Sala tree, Lord Buddha issued forth from her right side painlessly, golden, dazzling lights. Immediately it said, Brahma, Vishnu, Krishna, Brahma, Vishnu. All these gods and their entourage came down and bathed the Buddha and washed the Buddha. And the earth shook seven times as a portent of a superhuman being taking rebirth, it is reported. Even now, certain high lamas who take rebirth in Tibet, you see those signs. It is not a joke. I'm talking about these days. There will be immediately a slight earth tremor. I'm not talking about the Japanese one. That one's a disaster, I'm sorry. I'm talking about a light tremor will happen in that area. Rainbows will appear over the house of the child, even today. Now, when he was issued forward, Buddha walked in the four cardinal directions and raised his hands up to the sky and said, this will be my last rebirth. This will be the last rebirth I take in samsara as a being who is not awakened. And I will liberate countless before I enter parinirvana. He chose this day to take rebirth. He chose the same day, 30 plus years later. It varies from different traditions. Some say 35, some say 32, some say 36, that he attained enlightenment on the same day. Then at 81, on the same day, he chose to enter nirvana. He gave his last teaching to his close disciples who was weeping away, the arahats and the sangha who has grown to the thousands as he laid on his right side with his ring finger covering his right nose, laying down on the side, about to enter nirvana, and gave the last teaching on impermanence and the cessation of suffering. And he entered into nirvana. Very high lamas today still pass away in the same manner. Control on the right side, laying down. Last year, the year before, we had one old monk in Ganden Monastery. He went to early morning meditation puja. The monks called me and told me, because they told me this old monk had passed away. He went for early morning meditation and puja. He went back to his room. He cleaned his shrine. He had a small shrine. And he made fresh water offerings to the Buddha. And then he sat down in his bed and went into meditation and died. And then his body did not decompose. It did not smell. But from his stomach region, from the body, sweat, I don't know how you call it, chapa, sweat, thousands and thousands of small pills came out. And everybody went to get it. And those who take the pill experience some kind of happiness, some experience some kind of healing. Thousands of pills. This was just last year. Monks don't lie. The monastery doesn't lie. My friend has no reason to lie to me because it's not even his teacher. They witnessed this last year. 2 years back, 3 years back, one High Lama also passed away in South India in the monastery, and he stayed in death meditation for 1 month without decomposition. The Indian news came, Tibetan doctors came, Indian doctors came, poke him, check him out, they put that thing on to check if there's a heartbeat. Check him out, he's dead. No heartbeat at all, nothing. Completely dead, not breathing, but not decomposing. 1 month. Then after 1 month of sitting in meditation, in death, he did this. Then they removed his body, washed it, put on fresh robes, and cremated it and put it inside a stupa. This is what we're seeing today. You may not see it. It may be hard for you to believe. And I'm not trying to sell you anything, but I'm trying to tell you these old men in the monastery are very different than old men everywhere. A lifetime of meditation and practice will have some powerful results. Some of the monks have memorized texts this long, this thick. Okay, I've seen this long, this thick, and you know there's millions of words in there. I can't even remember one page. And they can recite it from memory. And just before they pass away, you know what they say? I will be back. My parents' name will be this. I will be born in this region. I will be born on this time and on this date. And when I'm born, I will recite this from memory to you the minute I can talk. Recognize that person as me when they can do that. There are lamas doing that now who will recite it to you from memory, then they die. And then when their incarnations come back, they're about 4 or 5 years old, they can start to speak clearly, they can recite the whole thing from memory, they never looked at it. That's how some high lamas are reincarnated, reinstated back. I've seen these kind of phenomena. I've seen it. I have no doubt in reincarnation, no doubt. Now, what happens? It happens here too, it's just people don't know how to recognize it. You know, there are ghosts and spirits everywhere. Everywhere. It's just whether you can see them or recognize them, know what to do. They're everywhere. It's like that. Reincarnation is everywhere. It's whether you know how to recognize it. So therefore, in our center, we have a few heart practices that we do. In the beginning, will be Lama Tsongkhapa, because that was the practice recommended to me by my sacred teachers. When I went to the Dalai Lama's personal monastery 20 years back, I went upstairs, have audience with him, take my ordination, and also go to his private monastery. He had the same Tangkas of Tsongkhapa hanging in his private monastery called Namgyal Monastery. I was inspired. I said, in the future, I want to have the same Tangkas. Our main practice is Tsongkhapa. Then for those who are able to aspire and stay and be loyal and stick with the center and really transform, then you will receive this practice. I won't even begin to tell you the mysteries of this practice and the benefits and how incredibly powerful this practice is. You can Google it. You can see my blog. And then, in between, while you're having obstacles and problems and difficulties, in Kichara House, we have one protector. The protector of Ganden Shatse, where I come from, etc. For the last 600 years, from Lama Tsongkhapa till now, Ganden Shatse monastery practices, etc. All the monks practice Setra. Every month they do Setra Puja. All the High Lamas, Geshis, all do Setra Puja in Ganden. The Setra Puja all of you are privileged to do here in Kichara is from Ganden. The pujas that you do here are from Ganden. I didn't make up anything. I don't dare make up anything because you know what? 20 years later, you come back to me, say no result, I'm dead. You guys got to have results. I might as well give you the real stuff. All the pujas you do here is from Ganden Shatse. And we have a group of puja people who are learning traditional pujas like Gyabshi and Shinye Dundu and Drocho, very powerful pujas from qualified monks that I invite here to teach. So we have real pujas here that are done exactly the same as in Ganden. My point, what you get in Kichara House is authentic. There's going to be people out there who like it. There's going to be people out there who don't like it. But you know what? It's called life. So everything is authentic. Why? I try to believe that I'm authentic. So I like to give people authenticity. And on top of that, people will travel thousands of miles, hundreds of miles. People will make an effort. So I have a responsibility for their spirituality, and I must give you the real practice. Why? Because you trust me. So trust is not taken lightly. Trust should not be thrown away lightly. Trust should not be accepted lightly. Trust must be rewarded with true practice, true lineage. So in Ganden Shatse, there is no doubt about the practice there. There's no doubt about the abbots and the high lamas and the geshis that I receive teachings from. So therefore, what we learn here, I kind of mold it to suit you guys a little better, because I don't think you can learn like the monks there, because it's pretty tough, the curriculum. So I kind of mold it to make it easier for you guys. And it's a little more fun, spiked with occasional little jokes here and there, because I am funny. But the essence of what I'm telling you is what I learned from my teachers. Unadulterated. Why? Well, if I can sound a little goody-goody, because I respect all of you. Because I respect your intelligence. And people out there can say anything they want about me, about the center, about what we do. It doesn't matter. You know why? Because results will prove the lineage. That's all. So Kichara keeps growing. Who cares what anybody thinks or says? Must be doing something right. You know, I like to throw in a little joke. I was in Bangkok about 10 years back. And I went there without the extra luggage. And I was walking around Bangkok. And, you know, you guys might know I'm a Madonna fan. Yes, Tibetan lamas like music. I'm a Madonna fan. She's my long-lost sister. I'm trying to write her to give me some recognition. I want to wear a t-shirt that says, I love Temramichi. She wore I love Kali Minogue once. What? Now, so when I was in Bangkok, I was furious. I was very upset. And I was fuming. Jennifer Lopez that said Madonna can't sing. I had a Jennifer Lopez CD and I gave it away. And I was very unhappy. And then Madonna made a press statement that time. It was for real, you know. You know what she said? When you've sold 120 million albums, come and talk to me. And I was thinking, I'm kind of like Madonna now, Kichara. Okay, never mind. So my point is, later anyway, Jennifer Lopez did apologize and said, sorry, Madonna, I didn't mean it that way. I meant it another way. I was like, yeah, but I did buy her CD again. You put down Madonna, I'm not buying your CD. I don't care if you're Justin Bieber, Fever, whatever you are. Anyway, I'm not into kid music, you know. I'm not into kids. There are a few people who are, though, who listen to kids all day long. What's his name, Justin Fever or Bieber? Okay, now, what's my point? My point is this. The Dharma that I give you is authentic. My method is developed to suit today's people. Modern mentality, lay people, you're not monks, you're not nuns. And hence, I kind of bring it and share it with you another way. When Lord Buddha passed away, the Sangha's council who was very attained at that time, declared Vaisak Day to be the holiest day of the year for practicing Buddhists, those who have taken refuge in the sage, in Buddha. Because it's the day that Buddha took birth, he chose it. It's the day that Buddha became enlightened, he chose it. It is the same day, 81 years later, that he chose to enter parinirvana. Talk about wow. Imagine, I'm born October 24th, 1965. So on October 24th, 2020, I become a Buddha. And a mamak stall. So all of you go there at the mamak stall, make offerings of kata to the mamak stall. Become, you paint in gold. Tenrimji became enlightened 2020, October 24th. Then in 2030, 40, Tenrimji passes away October 24th. So Tenrimji was born on that day. He attained enlightenment on that day, and he dropped dead on that day. He entered parinirvana. And the thing is, when I left my body, I looked back and said, oh, rats. I laid on my left side, not the right. Now, so Buddha chose that. So on this day of all days, it is most auspicious to become a monk or nun. Because it is the day that when Buddha took rebirth, it was a statement. I will not be controlled by samsara anymore. When Buddha attained enlightenment, now I will benefit others. And when Buddha passed away, it was a teaching on strong impermanence. All composite phenomenon will disintegrate. Do not be attached to composite phenomenon that are made up of many, many causes to form a phenomenon. Although it looks permanent, it is not. Hence, if you hold on to the permanence that does not exist, you will create sufferings for yourself. I repeat, if you hold on to composite phenomenon that although to the untrained mind appears permanent, but is not, all sufferings arise from that wrong perception of the phenomenon. The phenomenon doesn't make you suffer. The phenomenon doesn't create suffering. It is your wrong perception of that phenomenon. So hence, one who is enlightened, the perception is cleared. An awakened being. So on this day, if we wish to do auspicious things, do a baptism, which we did earlier, we wish to take vows or give an initiation, or we wish to take vegetarian vows, or we wish to make a donation. I wish to donate my services for 1 year. I wish to donate X amount of money. I wish to donate this for the temple. I wish to do this. I wish to make dana offerings. It's always done on this day because it's extremely auspicious. In Tibet, on Vaisak Day, people make grand offerings to the Lama. I have in the past. It's the most auspicious day to create a connection to your Lama. So therefore, on this day, when we take refuge, we are celebrating Buddha Shakyamuni's enlightenment, and we are also celebrating our entrance into the same path. So on this day, when we take refuge, we are celebrating Buddha's enlightenment, and we are celebrating our own entrance into the path of enlightenment. And it's not easy. It could be lonely. It's very difficult because you know why? You're going to have to fight the biggest enemy of your whole life, and that's yourself. That's the biggest enemy. It's yourself. And you know, you may have outside enemies. You know, you may really have outside enemies. But those outside enemies arose is because you didn't fight the inside enemy. So when you take refuge today, you are making an open acknowledgement. I will fight the enemy inside. I will conquer the enemy inside. I will, with time, concentration, focus, and determination, root out the enemy inside. What's the enemy inside? The selfish mind. The mind that wishes to press others down because you're jealous. The mind that wishes to cheat others because you want to jump ahead and live a good life. The mind that wishes to steal someone's partner away. The mind that lies and makes promises that you don't fulfill and disappoints people so much. You know, people always say, oh, I broke my promise. Oh, I'm sorry. I feel so bad. Stop thinking about how bad you feel because you broke your promise. Think about the people who believed in you and how you had disappointed them. And for you to even think about yourself shows you that the enemy is strong. So therefore, we have today on Refuge, we make an affirmation to Buddha, and even more so to ourselves. Today, in the presence of my Lama, a monk, Tsongkhapa, in this prayer hall that's precious and holy and sacred, that only positive activities are carried out, I make a sacred universal promise to myself. I will root out the enemy. I will forgive those who have hurt me. I will forgive those who have disappointed me to tears. I will continuously help people although they have taken advantage of me. I will continuously teach, share, and live the right way although they might be always on the lookout to harm me. Because it isn't about them and you. It isn't about them and me. It's about you and you. I will forgive those who have hurt me, and I will not allow them to hurt me again. Just because I forgive doesn't mean I'll go down there and say, now you can kill me. No, you can avoid those people who won't change and want to harm. You can avoid, but it doesn't mean you need to hold anger towards them. Let it go. And you will forgive those who have disappointed you to the point that you cry and you're hurt and you're disappointed. Because every time you do that, you're feeding the enemy inside. Yoda was very good from Star Wars. When you have a lot of anger, it feeds the dark side. A lot of things in Star Wars was taken from Buddhism. And a lot of the philosophies is from Buddhism.
Even the part where they have the little munchkins running around, they're reciting Om Mani Padme Hum, Mani Padme Hum. What are they called in the forest? Does anybody know? Huh? Ewoks. So they're dancing in the trees, the tree Ewoks. I can hear them. They speak Tibetan, and they're chanting Om Mani Padme Hum. You have to listen carefully, because I read about Star Wars background. Steven Spielberg likes Buddhism quite a lot. Oh, yes. And when Yoda says, feel the anger, be attached, it leads you to the dark side. It's exactly what Buddha said. One's a movie, one's real life. You go and listen to the Ewoks. Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. Hey, Karachigyo, they speak perfect Tibetan. You do a Google and check where they got that from. Oh, yes. Now, stop talking about Star Wars. You guys, this, we're taking refuge. What's wrong with you clowns? You don't meet a high Tibetan Lama and talk about Star Wars. Shame, shame. Now, what am I trying to tell you? When you take refuge, it isn't just an empty ceremony. I have the refuge vows. I've held the refuge vows for over 30 years. I took it when I was around 14, 15 from my great teacher in Howell, New Jersey. I retook it again with His Holiness, the 14 Dalai Lama. I took it again with Captain Sarangji, renewed it. I've held my refuge vows. And today, when I pass you the refuge, after today, you can call yourself a Buddhist. On the refuge vows, on the basis of the refuge vows in the future, you can receive tantric initiations. Because without the refuge vows, you cannot receive tantra. And if you've received tantric initiation before, from me or whoever, you must repair
You should not let it just slide into the corner with cobwebs. You should repair those vows, because the vows are the roots of your attainments. If you take refuge today, and you are, yes, I'm your teacher, yes, I'm your guru, yes, 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 wonderful. That's all very nice, and you can run around wearing, you know, pictures of Temurinji, altars of Temurinji, and praying to Temurinji. You can do all that. You know, that's wonderful, that's fabulous. But if you don't transform yourself, please don't tell me, don't tell them I'm your guru. As Jesus famously said, a tree is known by its fruit. Very simple. I know, I mix it up. I'm kind of new age. I like it all. I respect all, listen to a few, but follow one. That's my style. Now, when you take refuge, it's very simple, and it just takes 10 minutes. And we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And after you do refuge, you guys are going to, the first action you're going to do is make offerings to the three jewels. And I want all of you to make three prostrations. If you're 150 years old, if you're paraplegic, you have something wrong with your body, or, you know, your knees are out, you can just simply bow. And you bow to Lama Tsongkhapa, and you think, my guru and all the lineage masters and all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas are embodied in you. I offer my body, speech, and mind to you. I offer my body to you. In the future, may I get a perfect Buddha body. I offer my speech to you, and in return, I will use my speech to only benefit others. I offer my mind to you. In the future, may I have a mind of compassion, wisdom, skillful means, compassion, and extraordinary strength and tolerance to benefit others. May I get this mind back. I offer my body to you. In return, I want this. I offer my mind to you. In return, I want this. I offer my speech to you, my Lord. In return, I want this. And the ultimate return is, my Lord, I do not wish to worship you on an altar as a god for the rest of my existence. I wish to be just like you, a fully enlightened Buddha. Hence, I will take refuge. And when I take refuge, I will dedicate the refuge merits to my beautiful mother. I will dedicate it to my beautiful father, whether they were beautiful or not. As in my case, my parents abandoned me. But in my mind, I still dedicate merits to them. I'm not talking about physical beauty. Parents aren't perfect. They try to be, but they're not perfect. So therefore, I dedicate my refuge merits to my parents, alive or dead. May my mother and my father always have wonderful rebirth. Always take rebirth in happy, pleasant places and not suffer. I dedicate my refuge merits to my beautiful children, who I would give my life for. May they continue to be wonderful, powerful beings that help others. I dedicate my refuge vows to my beautiful husband, who have stuck by me for years with all my diva fits and all my wants and needs, and kept me in a life of a Tai Tai style. I love my husband. You wish, I know. I dedicate my merits to my beautiful wife, who is still beautiful even after the plastic surgery. And even without the plastic surgery, I dedicate it to my beautiful wife, who has stuck by me, who had had beautiful kids with me, who's been with me, who's just put up with everything, put up with me, my ups and downs, my balding head, everything. I dedicate it to my beautiful husband, my wife. And if we're divorcing our husband, I dedicate it to my ex-beautiful husband. If we're divorcing our wife, I dedicate it to my ex-beautiful wife. They still deserve happiness. And I also take the refuge vows today, and I dedicate it to all the people in my life who have done anything kind and good for me that has brought me to where I am. I dedicate it for them. And really, it's very powerful that way. And I also dedicate it for the people that have hurt me and damaged me, because they made me stronger. They made me work harder. They made me do things that I didn't think I could do. Because they made me stronger. You know, when we have enemies, when people say bad things about you, they put you down, they hurt you, they tear you apart, it really hurts. You know, you go into your room and you just cry. I do. If you think about it carefully, I know they didn't mean to make you stronger. So when Buddhists say, oh, I thank my enemies for making me a better person, and people always ask, but they didn't intend to do that, so how can you thank them? I know they didn't intend to do that. But from your side, you should let go.